Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Samuel Flynn Scott is best known for his role in the Phoenix Foundation and probably also for his famous father, Tom Scott. But he's had some solo albums out, and his most recent one is called Straight Answer Machine, which he performs with the BOP, which stands for Bunnies on Ponies. Funny name for a band. Russell Brown caught up.
I leave a message, I write a little note. You send a letter to the paper cut from the words I wrote. Say you got his heart, you got his mind too. If he's gonna think again, they better say what you do. And it's a strange thought.
Well, Sam, second solo album. This one sounds poppier to me. There's little bits of Beach Boys-y stuff and that sort of thing. Were you conscious of that when you were making it?
I think I was, to a degree. It was made very quickly, so I wasn't particularly conscious of doing anything specific. I just wanted to make a record and do it in as quick and as fun a way as possible. And I think a lot of the songs were written really quickly and in the studio, and I think that helps, because I think sometimes, you know, to make something that really feels like an old school pop record, you know, those records are made so quickly and under such pressure from record companies to get a new single out and, you know, get in there, write a song, we need to record it tomorrow, that kind of thing, that that's where some of those great early Rolling Stones originals or Beatles originals off the first few albums, where they kind of came from, was these really driven and speed, you know, time affected kind of places.
Right, because you only had 2 days in the studio or whatever. So
Yeah.
So it wasn't the case that you had a whole lot of songs sitting around that, you know, didn't suit the Phoenix Foundation then?
No, not at all. I think there were two songs on the album that I'd played live with the Bunnies on Ponies, and the rest of it was written and you know, finished in the studio. It might have been like, I might have had a little chord progression or something from here and there, but a lot of it was just come up with in the space of time that I was in the studio. I might have written something, you know, the night before, and then gone in and laid down an acoustic guitar, and then played it to the drummer, and then got, you know, done another take with him and the bass player, and, you know, that sort of thing. So it was all just done very off the cuff. And
is that sort of the role that the solo project plays for you, and that it can be a bit more spontaneous, because, you know, the Phoenix Foundation's quite a machine now. You've got quite
The Phoenix Foundation involves a lot of collaboration. You know, it involves a lot of me having a song, Luke having some ideas for an arrangement, Conrad having some interesting new sound that he wants to try and get in there, because he's playing around with, you know, his MPC and then like three synthesizers all going through a toaster oven or something. And then the rhythm section guys all wanting to get their mark on it as well. So I think that in a way, like Phoenix Foundation, although I wouldn't want to say that it's, you know, it's a machine or that we've got some kind of strict process, because we certainly don't. It is always a development thing with the material. And with the first solo album I did, I definitely wanted it to feel a bit rougher or something around the edges. But this album, I don't think it really relates that much to The Hunt Brings Us Life. I think it does relate more to the last Phoenix Foundation album, Too Happy Ending, in its vibes. Just because both those albums seem very sort of forward-moving to me. You know, there's a kind of an energy to them. So, I guess it's always going to be something that is a little bit of a contrast to the Phoenix Foundation, and the process was definitely different to the Phoenix Foundation, but I think the end result isn't a million miles away. It feels like it's another step.
I can see what you're saying. There's something it shares with Happy Ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One song in particular, Union Man. There's a pretty interesting line about cutting off John Key's hands there. What spirit was that written in?
Oh, in the spirit of wanting to cut off his hands, probably.
Oh, tax me, lover, tax me free. Gotta cut off the hands of old John Key. I'm a union man, but I'll never believe that you're working for me.
I don't know. I don't like the guy. Seems like a greasy, greasy ass muncher to me. Just kissing up to every single person in New Zealand and trying to, trying to be everything to everybody. And I just don't trust it. And I am, you know, a little bit politically motivated sometimes. Try to keep it out of the music as much as I can. But I mean, I do feel like at the moment, looking at where New Zealand's at, we're in a really strong position despite this international economic crisis, whatever you want to call it. We're actually still pretty comfortable here, you know. I think the fact that the government's brought back this rail infrastructure and they are thinking forward, they are thinking about, you know, like people are criticising KiwiSaver all over the place, but that's just the government trying to get New Zealanders out of debt. And the government is out of debt in New Zealand. You look at, you know, all these Western countries that are in so much debt, and New Zealand is really strong because we're not, and we're in such a strong position now to cope with all of these, you know, peak oil situations and all that sort of stuff. That John Key coming in and going, well, I'm going to cut corporate tax. It's like, who cares? What's, you know, what are New Zealand businesses really doing that bad? They don't seem to be doing that bad. You look around Auckland, there's just development everywhere. You know, Fonterra making record profits because the international food prices are soaring, and you know, there's all these little companies around New Zealand that it seem to be doing really well and doing amazing stuff. And I think that we've got this idea in our heads because of perhaps the Sunday Star Times, which is the great Satan, despite the fact that Grant Smithies is my favourite music reviewer, and you know, they do, you know, apart from Grant, they are the great Satan, and they're just, you know, fostering this idea that New Zealand's in a bad place. New Zealand's not in a bad place. New Zealand's in a really good place.
Yeah, I think I read someone call it the New Zealand sucks meme. It's this.
Yeah.
You know,
it's this whole mentality that, oh, you know, everyone's going to Australia because Australia is so great. Well, you know, Australia is pretty great in terms of, you know, there's good work, you know, it's got great falafel. But it doesn't mean that New Zealand, that anything's wrong with New Zealand. Just because some New Zealanders want to live overseas doesn't mean that New Zealand's in any sort of crisis. We're not in a crisis. House prices are falling a little bit. Thank God for that. They were too high. It is a good thing. This whole idea, it was all like, house prices are too high, house prices are too high. Oh my God, house prices are falling. Freak out.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
Is New Zealand a good place to be based as a band? I mean, you seem to be able to tour when you need to, and
yeah, the only thing is that you, I mean, I love traveling around the world, but I do, you know, every time I do, I feel more and more guilty about the global impact of air travel and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's something I think that the band is going to have to think about, trying to reinvest, you know, reinvest some of our energy into some green causes and that sort of thing, because we haven't done anything.
And be, you know.
Yeah, but we've never really been in a financial position to do that. But at the same time, you have to kind of go, well, we can't worry about being the right time to be carbon neutral. We have to make that decision now. When this has become very political, Russell. This seems to be every time I talk to you, it's just like,
you didn't take
politics.
Any urging.
But you mentioned John Key, and then just my blood just starts to boil. I'm not a National Party fan. I wish them nothing but ill feelings. But New Zealand's a good. New Zealand is a great place to make music. I love the recording studios in Wellington. Now being able to make music with someone like Lee Preble in a really great environment.
He's given that record. He's given your record a certain atmosphere. Would you say he's like a producer who's got a certain feel or something?
Yeah, there's definitely. You know, he's got an attitude he brings to the studio which affects the playing. I think that, you know, the one theme running through all the records that he's produced is that they feel relaxed. You know, nothing feels particularly forced. So, I don't know. I'm in love with the man. Maybe he should be the next Prime Minister.
I have an only slightly facetious question. I wonder whether you'd consider writing lyrics for some of the Wellington downbeat bands, because Wellington's got this brilliant literary tradition and it's got this downbeat scene, and none of them seem to be able to write words, Sam.
I would be happy to write anyone songs who came to me and wanted me to write a song for them, you know, because I love writing songs and I write too many songs. And I don't care if it's reggae or if it's... you know, pop music, or if it's heavy metal, I'd be happy to try and do anything with songwriting, because it's much better spending the day drinking cups of tea and playing my guitar and playing around with Pro Tools than going off and working in a cafe or whatever, which is what I usually have to do when I run out of money.
Right, so you're actually able to live and work as a musician
at the moment. I am, yeah. You know, but that's, you know, it's always, you never know, you know, with New Zealand when, you know, things might just cool off a little bit and then you don't have that kind of support. And I think it's good to have a few strings to your
Yeah, it seems like for a lot of people in your position, it's the publishing income as you know, that's become really important. You
it's know, hugely important.
If you're a songwriter.
I think internationally that's what most musicians will tell you, is that publishing is where you do make a living, that's where you survive. And and
less so actually retail sales of physical CDs.
Yeah, well, I mean, physical sales are just down, probably 40% since 4 years ago or something. They've seemed to drop about 20%, 20 to 30% a year or something in the last couple of years. So, retail sales aren't going to be a big thing for musicians in the future. So it's a lot more about playing live and having music on the radio and on TV and movies and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, in a way, that's great, because playing live is, one of the greatest pleasures you can have as a musician. And going to a gig is one of the greatest, things that I've ever done in my life, experiences going to gigs. Seeing Wilco a few weeks ago was just, a wonderful experience. And, I think that's going to make, ultimately, music stronger, is just people going out and playing more music and actually getting in front of people. And maybe that will, I mean, it's a bit hopeful, but maybe that might destroy some of the horrible bubblegum pop that's infiltrated the world and is, along with John Key and some of New Zealand's more torrid media, really destroying the world.
And on that note, I think we'll finish. Hey, best of luck for the solo album and for the rest of the year with the Phoenix Foundation.
Thanks, Sam. Russ.
Russell Brown there talking to Samuel Flynn Scott. That's us for this week. If there's something you missed, go to publicaddress.net/radio. I'm Damien Christie.
And I'm David Slack. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for the funding. We'll be back next week.